This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So listen to what Stugatz is saying there, because you have to do this. It's a real easy way to have a shot at $10,000, even if you don't want the other stuff, which is some private moments with us. Advance Auto Parts is doing something to support the show here. And one of the ways you could get $10,000 yourself is, say it again, the number they need, what they need to do, what they need to text.
Text your last name, Lebatard, Lebatard, to 77333. And you'll have a chance at $10,000 and a virtual meet and greet with us.
All right, so Tim Kirchin's going to join us in a moment here. But again, we interrupted Christine Lisi. We don't stop doing that. Please continue, Christine.
And finally, a two-year-old toddler made national headlines by taking his best friend, a full-size skeleton, everywhere he goes. Speaking of people carrying around dead weight, Dan, back to you.
Oh, wow. All right. She's coming after Stugatz there.
Maybe Cody.
Or, we don't know. Certainly not Kirchin. It would not be Tim Kirchin. I know it's super random. I know it is just overdosing on baseball, but I like what your sport is doing. It's not just that I don't dislike it. I like how I'm consuming the baseball playoffs this year.
Well, how can you not like it, Dan? We had 8 playoff games in one day. We had 4 more yesterday and 2 more today. This is a great thing for baseball that we're seeing this, and we're seeing power pitching, Dan, like we've never seen before. The strikeout rates are out of control. It's too much. But every time you turn on a game, there is somebody throwing 97 miles an hour. It's ridiculous. I don't know how anybody gets a hit anymore. And this week has proven again just how overpowering the pitching is in the big leagues. And the games have been unbelievably long, but they've been so much fun to watch.
So Fernando Tatis Jr., among young players you've seen play the sport that you've gotten excited about, does he rank?
He ranks because of his size. Dan, he's really big, and he can really move. I haven't seen too many shortstops that size who can move like he moves. It's athletically, it's ridiculous. And then yesterday, he had left 10 runners on base in the first 2 games, and he comes up in the biggest spot with the season on the line and hits a 3-run homer, and then he hits another homer. So he is, he's a difference maker. He's going to be a star player in the league for a long time. But again, the position he plays and the skill with which he plays it is the separator. You don't see shortstops who can catch and throw and move like that guy can at that size, at that age.
Timmy, I love the postseason, too. The amount of games, the games have been exciting. And I know you're a traditionalist, but I'm wondering here, do you think that this is something we could see permanently moving? Maybe not 16 teams, Tim, but maybe 12 or 14 moving forward here with the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Yeah, I think we're going to see more playoff teams next year. And I'm on record, and I will defend it, that 16 is too many for a 162-game season. It just takes away from the integrity of the regular season that sub-500 teams are getting in. I mean, 2 sub-500 teams are in this playoff. The Brewers made the playoffs without being over 500 for one day of this season. I mean, the Reds made the playoffs and deserve to, but, you know, they hit 212 as a team and made the playoffs. This is the game we play today, but I'm worried if you let 16 teams in every year, now that team like the Dodgers that wins 112 games has to play a 3-game series out of the box, and in baseball, anything can happen, and I think the first-place team deserves to get some sort of reward for playing that well for so long.
Does Gardner Minshew look like the bad guy in a 1980s movie about surfing? Or does Gardner Minshew look like a guy who would shotgun a Bud Light after being told by Jerry Springer that he is not the father? Or does Gordon Hayward look like the piano player of a Wild West saloon who abruptly stops playing as the notorious gunslinging outlaw Gardner Minshew swings open the saloon doors and silences all the patrons with a menacing glare? Rob, you are on with Tim Kirkchin. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, Tom, it's Rob. Hey, if you could have a sleepover in any MLB stadium ever, which one would it be and who would you bring? It could be anyone in history.
Wow. Well, being a really old guy, I would sleep at Fenway Park just because, you know, Ted Williams played right out there and Babe Ruth pitched right on that mound right there, which is still there. And I would invite Babe Ruth to the sleepover because all these years later, I'm fascinated with how great he was, how athletic he was, what a great pitcher he was, and how back in the 20s he hit tape measure home runs using, you know, equipment that doesn't even rival what we have today. He's the most fascinating player in baseball history, and I would love to just sit down for a sleepover at Fenway Park with Babe Ruth.
Little sleepover with a great Bambino. How about that? At the Fens.
Does Tim Legler look like a Las Vegas billboard attorney? I got him on a bus stop. Does Ryan Fitzpatrick look like the Apostle Paul? Does Adam Silver look like the long match you use to start your fireplace?
I'll save that.
Mark, you're on with Tim Kirkchin. Go ahead, Mark.
Apostle Paul. And Tim, is J.P. Realmuto the most prized free agent this offseason? And if you're having a Dodger dog, but it's made out of turkey, is it really a Dodger dog?
I'm not sure I can tell the difference between a Dodger dog and a turkey dog. But
you can,
yes,
Tim.
If it's served at that length and the way they serve it, yes, you can't miss a Dodger dog. And yes, JT Realmuto will be the premier free agent out there. There are a couple other good ones, George Springer. But again, the position that he plays is the separator. When you're a catcher and you're relatively young and you're offensive and you're really good behind the plate, that's how you make money. And look how many teams out there could really use a frontline catcher moving forward. So it's going to be a weird offseason for paying players, but he's going to get paid because he deserves it.
Does Mike Malone look like he speed walks through your neighborhood at 5:30 a.m. precisely every morning? Does Oral Hershiser look like the guy who still calls his mom mother? Does Mike Leach look like the guy in a disaster movie sitting at the diner drinking his coffee and as the floodwaters slowly begin to creep in under the door, nonchalantly asks the waitress, "Got any pie?" Does Adam Silver look like a small town's water tower? Or does he look like the thing your toilet paper spins on? Zach, you're on with Tim Kirkchin. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, Timmy, one question. The Rays, what the hell?
Yeah, the Rays are really good, fellas, and it sounds corny and cliched, but they play the game better than everyone else. They keep the double play in order. They don't miss the cutoff, man. They don't make ridiculous base running mistakes like everyone else does. They throw strikes. They put the ball in play. They just play the game better than everyone else. They don't have the best players, but the way they approach the game is why they're such a difficult out, and I cannot wait to see them play the Yankees, who they beat 8 out of 10 this year, but the Yankees are rolling. So there's so much to admire about how the Rays play the game. More teams should pay attention to that because they're doing it right.
Tim, you need one pitcher, current pitcher, active pitcher, one pitcher, one game, one win. Is it Gerrit Cole?
Yeah, he had a no-walk, 13-strikeout game the other day. So only he and Tom Seaver have ever done that in the postseason. Of course, last year, his final 22 starts, he went 16-0 with a 1.78 ERA and struck out a batter in 73 consecutive innings. He's a really smart pitcher. He has violent stuff that he throws with amazing precision. So I would take him over everyone. Plus, he's got postseason experience, which, again, we saw the other day.
Does Sam Darnold look like a rock'em sock'em robot? It does seem a little square. Does Marty Smith look like the guy who puts antlers on his truck during the Christmas season? Does Nick Nurse look like the camp counselor who, while telling the campers there is absolutely no such things as monsters, cannot see the half-man, half-swamp creature walking out of the lake behind him?
Nurse.
And finally, does Pat Riley look like the boss at your law firm who turns out to actually be the fallen angel Lucifer made flesh trying to seduce you into entering a carnal contract with your half-sister in order to sire the Antichrist and usher in 10,000 years of darkness? Wait a minute. That's a Pacino movie. That's the devil's advocate. Tim, thank you for being on with us.
Oh, God. See you guys.
See you. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and the Big Suey on Demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
What is on the newest Stupidity, Stugatz?
We our second episode this week. It's the Weekend Observations crew. We are doing that weekly now. So every week I'll get together with Mike Golic Jr., Mikey C., Mikey A., Dan Stanzik. This week we had Diana Russini on. She was fantastic. We did a full wedding recap with Russini. Laugh out loud funny.
Roy, what's on the latest mystery crate?
I don't know.
It's Dad Pod. You did something with Amin El Hassan, Roy. It is up on there.
Yes. Thank you. I had no idea.
How'd you not know?
Because it kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back.
I see.
I think Roy was just totally jarred that I was coming to him. He was not expecting that. I think that's what happened, and I startled him awake. Arch Manning, have you heard about the son of Cooper Manning, the high school prospect who is a sophomore?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I told you this before. I don't want to live in a world where there's not a Manning playing quarterback, and Arch seems to be the next one. I mean, this is exciting.
Well, he's just a sophomore, and he came out of the box here with 5 touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown, 5 throwing touchdowns, and he looks the part. He looks like Eli, like his uncles, and physically, I would have guessed
he looks like Lamar Jackson.
And Arch is such a great name. It is such an upgrade from Archie, is it not? I mean, just take off the IE and you have one of the great quarterback names in the history of football.
Arch Manning, you believe Arch. It's one of the great, well, Archie is not very intimidating.
No.
But Arch gives you a little more than that. And so if you are worried that that league at the quarterback position has a marketing problem going forward, given that it's always the white guys that get the national commercials, and that is not viewed, if you want to check out an interesting podcast with Bomani Jones, we covered a lot of different ground in the Big Suey a couple of days ago, and we were talking about whether or not the white quarterback is an endangered species right now, given that the way that you're used to seeing the position played is obviously changing. When you look at Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray and Josh Allen, the athleticism at the position where it's no longer the stiff-necked Peyton Manning dropping back to pass, you see that is obviously changing. And so one of the things that we were talking about, though, is that somehow football, and not somehow, football is not considered a black league the way that basketball is considered a black league. And it's at least in part because your white quarterbacks are getting all of the commercials. They're getting a lot of the insurance commercials, the play that makes them extend, you know, beyond the sidelines into being known by people who might not even be interested in football. But it's a little more difficult to do that with Lamar Jackson, who does not talk in interview bites that are special. He's not giving you charisma of any sort. Patrick Mahomes can give you that. Patrick Mahomes can absolutely grab the mantle on some of this stuff.
You see Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. Patrick Mahomes is doing the State Farm commercials now that Chris Paul does with the NBA. And Russell Wilson's a guy who does a ton of commercials, right?
Does he?
Oh, I think, yeah. I see Russ in a lot of commercials.
I don't. I'm asking you, when I say does he, it's only because I don't think of Russell Wilson as national commercials.
He had a headphones commercial fairly recently.
And that's part of it. Not that commercials are the only measurement, but if you wanted to hear this discussed with you know, a little more depth, check out the Big Stewie, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Somebody just punched an unprovoked attack on Rick Moranis. What the hell happened? What the hell? In the Upper West Side of New York, there's video. Why would anybody punch Rick Moranis? He's like in his late 60s.
Hey, he's so lovable, that face.
I've shocked Mike Ryan. There's been an unprovoked attack on Rick Moranis, and Mike Ryan is just asking, who would punch Rick Moranis? We've got a new celebrity prognosticator coming up next. Steve-O ends up losing, so we've got to go to a new one. We will do that next. Our new celebrity prognosticator. Now, Steve-O went 2-3 last week. Colin Cowherd beat him, but we're still up on the season. We are 9-6, and Cowherd is 8-7. So we bring in this guy. Today is the 30-year anniversary of the first time that he wrestled, and now he is, of course, Le Champion. Chris Jericho with us on ESPN Radio. Thank you, as always, for making time for us. What do you remember about your debut in wrestling?
It's actually pretty funny, and thanks for having me back on, Dan. But I've been thinking about it all week, and I even did a podcast with my opponent, a guy called Lance Storm, who wrestling fans will know. And we actually talked for a whole hour about this first match. You remember all these little things like where you got your boots and where you got your tights, and they wanted me to be Cowboy Chris Jericho, and I didn't want to be a cowboy, but they listed me from Casper, Wyoming anyways, and just all these little cool things. It's hard to believe it's been 30 years, but I've come a long way, all the way from the Moose Hall in Pinoca, Alberta, to the Dan Le Batard show here worldwide.
How many people were there for your first match?
I haven't written, so I'm getting ready to put out a book called The Complete List of Jericho, because I kept a list of every match that I ever had, starting with this match. So I'm actually looking at this piece of paper that I wrote on literally 30 years ago, and I wrote down 130 people, although there's probably half of that there, because in my mind's eye, there was 130 people was like Madison Square Garden at the time. I couldn't believe how many people were there, and a couple of them were actually cheering for me. And I'll never forget that feeling. Like, holy smokes, they're actually cheering for me. They like me.
You were from Casper, Wyoming, and your name was? Like, had you settled in on who you were?
Yeah, dude, it was Chris Jericho right from the start.
Okay. I remember you had some terrible name before that, Jack Action. Right. Jack. Yes. I didn't know whether that was Jack Action or Chris Jericho in your first match.
Yeah, I wanted to be Jack Action, and then the aforementioned Lance Storm saw me and said, that's a terrible name. And I said, okay, well, how about Chris Jericho? Because I was listening to a German heavy metal band called Helloween, and they had an album called Walls of Jericho, so I was frantically searching for a name when Jack Action was shut down and went with Chris Jericho instead.
I really like Jack Action, I got to be honest. You can catch Chris Jericho on AEW Dynamite each Wednesday at 8 o'clock Central, including next week's 30th anniversary Chris Jericho special. I'm wondering, 30 years, the most memorable match for you is what?
It's hard to say, man. I mean, there's been literally 2,725 of them. But I think probably, I'd say probably the AEW match where I won
the world title maybe for now. Or it's hard to say. All I know is that coincidentally, it's also the first anniversary of AEW today as well, and what a great year it's been. So ladder match with Shawn Michaels, the match with Jon Moxley where I lost the title in AEW. I mean, there's so many of them. It just great memories all around. I think my favorite thing is that I've been able to make a living doing what I always wanted to do when I was a kid for 30 years now. So each match is special as the last.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Is Stugatz the first person ever to give out Central Time when promoting something? And the wrong one at that. It's 7 o'clock Central, but 8 o'clock everywhere.
It's 8 Eastern, 7 Central. I mean,
it's just Stugatz reading the internet poorly. Now
I'm trying to promote Jericho here.
Yeah, but you did it poorly by giving people the wrong time. They're going to show up at 8 o'clock Central.
Sorry, Chris.
AEW Dynamite, 6 p.m. Mountain Time.
Thank you.
Do you know football? Before we get to the celebrity picks from you, do you know football?
I know football, especially over the last few years. And every Sunday, my wife has a football poll type thing. And this last week, I got 11 right. So I'm on a roll, man.
All right.
The right guy at the
All right.
Time.
He
I got
is.
Momentum, baby.
All right. All right. Let's do this here. The lines are provided, as always, by Caesars William Hill.
And now, it is time for Celebrity Prognosticator. Let's win some money.
It is 10:38 Central on your radio dial right now. Jags at Bengals. Bengals -3. Who's Jericho got?
I'm going to go with the Jaguars. And the reason why is I work for the Khan family. Don't forget that. So if I don't pick the Jaguars,
right.
I could get fined.
Okay, very
Jaguars
good.
Jaguars all the way.
Okay, good.
We got
Seth
it.
Mountain, baby.
All right, we got
Saints
it.
At Lions. Lions +4. Who you got?
I'm taking the Saints. You can't go against Drew Brees, man. He's hot.
Not really. Seahawks at Dolphins. That's okay, though.
He doesn't know football.
Do you mean physically?
I think he's hot.
Okay,
not hot like look
like
fly.
Good looking. Okay, very good. Seahawks,
yeah.
nicely pivoted.
Nick Saban a beaut.
Seahawks at Dolphins. Dolphins +6.5. Who you got?
I'm taking Seahawks. Russell Wilson, baby.
Bills at Raiders. Raiders +3. Who you got?
Bills.
Josh Allen, baby. Patriots at Chiefs. Chiefs -7. Who you got?
Patrick Mahomes, baby.
Can't go against Mahomes, man. I'm going with the Chiefs, baby. There
it is.
Come on, the Chiefs.
Thank you for being on with us, Jericho. Hopefully we'll talk to you again next week. Again, you can catch Chris Jericho on AEW Dynamite each Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain Time. His 30th anniversary.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be back next week, baby. If Cowherd better watch it.
All right.
I'm going 5 for 5.
All
yeah.
right. Wow. All
yeah.
right. Talking trash. Thank you, Jericho. We appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. We got to get everyone into the club at what is going to be 10:47 Central Time. We're going to throw every sound that we have from the week into the club. I don't have any idea why Stugatz decided to give you Never Central Time in the promo for where Jericho is. But usually when we promote stuff, we want to get the time right so you don't miss it. In the event that you were, wanting to see that and
right.
then would get mad, like furious at Stugatz because you'd be like, damn it, I heard that was at 8 p.m. Central. Stugatz told me.
I feel like Eastern time, the Eastern time zone gets most of the shine. And so sometimes I like to spread it out, give the Central
nice.
Time zone a little love, give the Western time zone a little bit of love.
That's
I mean,
nice of you, Stugatz.
But even then, I think you still got it wrong.
I did.
We will get into the club in a second. But first, before we do that, and so that we can get into the club, please give me the short one. I need the short intro to Stat of the Day. The short one, please.
Start of the day, it is your start of the day. Start of the day, it is your start of the day. Start of the day, it is your start of the day. Start of the day, it is your start of the day.
Only time that the New York Jets appeared in the Super Bowl was 4 years before the death of Picasso.
Well, come on. Get out of here.
What were you laughing about while I was reading that? That you called it the Western time zone?
Yeah, that Roy corrected us in the chat saying Pacific time zone.
We will open up the club in a second. You are amazing. I mean, a fictional character like this could not be written.
Sometimes we like to amplify it being a character, but damn, that was a rough segment for you.
This is me, man.
Well, he's tired is part of the problem. He's been complaining a lot about the amount that he's talking.
Shorten the show by an hour. Relax.
I know, but I've added other things in my life.
Like an NBA Finals run?
That and the baseball playoffs. I mean,
well, he has a hard time saying no, too, to anybody about anything. Like, if you want him to come on your podcast or you want him to do whatever, he has a hard time with no if it means he gets attention.
Well, yeah, that's true. I don't say no because it benefits me. I had a really satisfying day yesterday. I was part of Hank Azaria's podcast. I was on Bill Simmons' podcast. I
that's
did my
our
own
podcast. Hank Azaria's
don't
podcast.
Give away, don't give away the game. Just stop talking. It's been a really poor last 10 minutes for you.
Listen, I'm ready for the
Let's
club.
Let's open up the club. Let's open it. Open it. We're going to give you 4 minute burst of club. He's just out of gas, Mike.
I'm tired, Michael.
That's it. These 2 hours of terrestrial radio a day is just totally crushing to him.
We're getting old.
The first sound in the club is... Of course, is Creed. The Marlins will soar. Scott
Stapp.
No.
This was post-breakup. This is Scott Stapp going solo.
But given a Creed vibe to the proceedings by going into his loins to go get the emotion. Billy, are the Marlins going to soar? Are you soaring? Are you headed into the club? Why do you look despondent and scared already? What's happening here? Are you excited?
The investigation, Dan, has hit a bit of a snag. No new evidence in the past couple hours, but I'm still on the case. Don't worry.
All right. You are going to try and prove that the Cubs are cheating with their weather to avoid the Marlins' rotation.
No. I'm going to get to the truth. I'm not trying to lean one way or another. I'm trying to get to the truth of what's going on.
All right. Thank you, Billy. The next sound in the club is...
The discussion that we have that makes this complicated is that Shaq makes the sidekick so much better...
Shaq makes the sidekick so much better as Dan is choking on a peanut right now. My memorable moment ever.
We sound a lot younger.
Yeah.
Who else is in the club?
Metcalf. DK Metcalf. Mike calls it in. 38-31. The Seahawks take the lead.
That is so good. Just him trying to choke his way. It's Michael Eaves, right? Choking his way through a highlight.
Excuse me. Metcalf.
I mean, that last. No, he really reached back for Metcalf.
Him belching out the Metcalf is just a commitment to winning that most anchors do not have. Him going in.
Metcalf.
Going deep, deep into the reservoir where very few anchors can go. High pain threshold.
Metcalf.
He just...
Poor guy.
Who else is in the club?
Well, he's really struggled here in Carolina. There's no question. Sorry, Sage.
Sorry, Adam. Take a glass of water there, Adam Schefter. It's all right. This is what happens when we have Adam Schefter on 24/7.
See, not everyone can do it. See, Schefter can't go get it. He doesn't have an extra gear.
Sorry, Sage.
Sorry, Adam.
Just an apology and no more information. The Schefter robot short-circuited.
Sorry, Sage.
Sorry.
Sorry, Sage. Who else in the club?
Hey, Stu Gatz, not so fast, my friend.
Oh, yes. That seems like it was 6 months ago. Who else is in the club?
Good pick, Stugatsa.
Yes! The highlight of Stugatsa's career.
Good pick, Stugatsa.
Yes! Yes, game day. What did you end up going on game day? Do you know what your record was?
I have no idea, but Reese said I'm welcome anytime. I'll see you tomorrow, Reese.
Okay, I'm guessing if your record was good, you'd know it. I'm guessing. Who else is in the club?
My neck, my back, my Michael Doliak.
Yes, thank you. Always welcome here to take you into the weekend. Who else?
This is literally the worst way to ever do this. This is burning my heart that this is happening. But if you could hear me, just understand I'm sorry.
That is, of course, Action Bronson talking to Magnus for Magnuson.
If you could hear me, just understand I'm sorry.